and look around. He's a brown eye, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. That you can build them again. Look around, grass is high, the fields are light. It's a springtime of my life.
Hey everybody, sorry about the brief bit of rhyming and stealing that you got to experience. I'm not sorry you got to experience it, but I'm sorry you had to. I blew a breaker here in the house, and I had to go fix it.
And I didn't help. I was just sitting here going, breaker 19.
Yeah. Fortunately, it's super hot in my office because it doesn't have an air conditioning duct because it was an add-on to the house, and so I got a little like portable air conditioner, and every time it kicks on, there's maybe a 1 in 200 chance that it's going to trip the breaker for all the lights in this side of the house. So, good stuff.
Thank God it doesn't do it for the computers, though.
Yeah, that is lucky. It just so happens that all of the computers and all the networking equipment are plugged into outlets that are not on that same circuit. So anyway, I got to figure out some solution for that. It might be possible to get a better breaker. Or what I could do is actually replace the breaker with a penny. That works, right?
Yeah.
It's like fuses. So I'm just looking up string comparison operators in PHP, because that's the kind of stuff that I read for fun. How you been, Mr. Skullhead? This is your first show back since your honeymoon and such, right?
Yeah, we got back on July 4th, and flying into LAX on July 4th is awesome, because I saw pretty much all of the fireworks displays in the city as we were landing the plane. Well, as he was landing the plane, I really didn't do much to help, I guess. But, yeah, it was great. Then we got back, and we started doing more home improvement shit, and as of today, we're 60% done with a tiny bathroom that we've been working on for 3 days. Just everything in that house takes longer to work on than it would seem that it would, because everything these guys did to this house, they did completely butt-headedly.
So it's a trend in properties that I have anything to do with.
Yeah. So when we went to remove the wallpaper, for example, they used the wrong kind of paste. So it's not a paste that can be dissolved by all of the solvents that are made to make it really easy to take wallpaper off. And, so stuff like that. And that everything they put, like, attached to the wall, they used fucking railroad spikes. Close. I mean, that's a slight exaggeration, but like the baseboards they put on with giant 3-inch long nails with big heads.
Huh.
And like some of the nails were 9 inches long, and that just pissed me off because it's like
crappy
music.
You really don't like those kind of nails at all. Yeah.
What did you ever get a chance to take that Garden State picture?
No,
that's really disappointing.
Maybe I can get our. So our new thing is it's this color that I suppose I'm supposed to call teal, with a yellow stripe running horizontally around the thing. So if I can find that shirt, then I can do the Garden State picture.
You know what you should do instead of having painting the wall teal? You should paint a life-size portrait of Teal'c from Stargate SG-1.
Huh.
So that every time you open that door, it's like, ah, a creepy black dude with some disc embedded in his forehead and a lot of makeup. Ooh, Teela from Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, I think that would be better.
Or Attila from, you know, the Huns.
Attila and the Huns was one of my favorite early punk groups. Which I'm sure there has been an Attila and the Huns.
Yeah, there has to have been. Genghis and the Khans. Genghis and the Con Men? Yeah. Anyway, Conway Twitty and the Genghis Bird.
Now you're just making stuff up.
I was making stuff up before. I had a relatively low key little dinner on my birthday on Friday, and then we took a weekend trip up to Prescott, the town where Mr. Skullhead and I formed the seed that grew into our beautiful relationship.
I'm glad that you took your wife there so she could become part of that.
I drove by our houses.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're still there.
Yeah, mine's turned some kind of hideous mint green.
I think they've done a little bit, they've done some kind of remodeling on it, too. They've, like, either, like, closed in the carport or something, or it didn't look the same. I knew it was your house, but it looked different than it did when you were there.
They put up a fence in between my house and the house next to it.
Oh, I see.
And then there was the paradise in the back there, and they paved it. And now it's just a parking lot, so... That kind of sucked.
Huh. Well, I mean, at some point in the far future, you'll be able to look at it and say, this was a parking lot. Now it's all covered with flowers. So really, it'll all come full circle.
Yeah.
What else did I do? We had some delicious beers at the Prescott Brewing Company and some delicious pretzels and some delicious artichoke dips. And we didn't... I don't think we did any of... any kind of touristy stuff in Prescott at all. We mostly just drove around getting drunk.
Yeah, Jess has had to do that with me a couple of times, driving around the town and showing her where everything used to be.
Although there's not really... There have not been that many changes since... You left before I did, though.
Yeah.
So that's... I was there, what, like 5 or 6 years longer than you?
Four or five.
Yeah, anyway. A lot of the roads, like, on the outskirts are different and stuff, but, I mean, everything in town, like, downtown is identical, except that some of the tourist shops have gone out of business and been replaced with identical tourist shops that have not yet gone out of business.
Right.
Turns out the asshole that owned the restaurant that I worked my first job, he had actually somehow finally managed to keep a restaurant open for more than, like, a couple years, but now it's gone, and he's a real estate agent.
Huh.
So, that's pretty funny. What else happened? We hung out at the hotel. There was a toaster Nazi.
Toaster Nazi?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. They had this continental breakfast room, right? And most of the stuff was put away at night. And the vending machine sold Pop-Tarts. So I went to the front desk and I'm like, hey, do you guys have a toaster that we can use? And he was like, you know, I don't know where it is. We have one for the breakfast, the continental breakfast thing, but I don't know where they keep it. And so while we were buying the Pop-Tarts out of the vending machine, Hot Stuff walks into the continental breakfast room, and in a cabinet that's filled with, like, you know, extra tea bags and stuff is the toaster. So he starts to pull it out and plug it in so that we can use it to toast our Pop-Tarts. And the guy's like, "You don't do that. Why are you going through the cabinets?" And I was like, I mean, they're unlocked, and there's, like, stuff in here that we're supposed to be able to get to, obviously. That's for breakfast. Well, we just asked you where the toaster was, and you said you didn't know, but it's right here. Can we just make some Pop-Tarts, like, in front of you and then put it back? It's for breakfast. So then
Wow.
Yeah, Pop-Tarts. Yeah, they, so.
You know, I don't think I've toasted a Pop-Tart more than once in my life.
Wow, really?
And yeah, I just eat them raw.
I mean,
they're a cooked food.
Do not like them raw at all. Like raw, they're like super dry. If you eat them raw,
I don't think so.
The instructions though say instead of toasting them, you can microwave them for 3 seconds.
Yeah,
and I did that. I microwaved it for 3 seconds, and I'm like, I kind of put my hand over it, and I'm like, that can't possibly have worked. So I microwaved it for like 10 more seconds, and then bit into it, and I'm like, fuck, I can see why they said 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's just something in there turns into lava almost immediately.
Yeah, just the molten strawberry. Yeah.
So wait, you took hot stuff with you and Aaliyah on your romantic trip to Prescott?
It wasn't a romantic trip to Prescott, it was just we took hot stuff and Nama.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, there were times when Phoenix and Nama hung out by the pool while Hot Stuff and I worked. And there were times when Hot Stuff and I hung out in the hot tub together while Phoenix sat there wishing that her husband was straight and Nama played Animal Crossing DS. There were a lot of times like that. Sadly. It was fun though. It was neat to be up there.
Yeah.
Guess we can go into questions.
All right.
Dreamer TK says, why can't we use the pet rock to throw at our enemies? The bigger it is, the more damage it does. Because then it wouldn't be funny anymore.
Yeah.
Bomba Baby says, make hilarious objects tradable? They are tradable. They're just not sellable.
Stop asking.
They are gifts. They are gifts. If you're spending meat on one, you are more than likely going to get fucked over because you're not supposed to sell them. So, rather than complaining about not being able to use the trade system to trade gift items for meat, don't trade gift items for meat. Jumping Zebra says, how much meat gets meat synced into the Raffle House each day? It varies wildly depending on what's in there. The first day it sunk like a billion, and since then it's like somewhere between 100 million and 500 million meat a day, I would say. Usually. Fred Levi says, if an item slash meat gain familiar gains a pound, is that extra pound taken into account when you get the spoils of that battle? I don't remember, actually. It's possible that it does, and it's possible that it doesn't. It depends on what order those things happen in. Yeah, yeah. And this is interesting. One of the things that... Hey, remember that time that we went to San Diego for Comic-Con last year? And so, during that trip, we took the list, like the to-do list of stuff that fell through the cracks during Ascension testing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And made a bunch of notes on it and decided a bunch of stuff about what we were going to do and what we were going to not do on it. And then that list got left in your car and just promptly disappeared for like 9-10 months.
Oh, yeah.
And so I found it and I took it with us on this trip. And almost all the stuff in it is actually already done and had just gotten done anyway. It's like, you know, it wasn't so important that we had the list. It's just stuff that was planning on happening anyway, but one of the things on there that I was like, oh yeah, we should really do this. Fred Levi says, in an effort to have more varied effect images, the complete delusion effect picture could be the wolf mask. I'd like to go through at some point and take the effects that have like just super generic graphics for them and see if something in the meantime has been drawn that could be used as an appropriate effect graphic. You know, like the strange mental acuity, we could use that brain now, you know, which wasn't there before. Like, it's just, there's a bunch of stuff like that that just has, like, smiley faces or sad faces or question marks or whatever. And, I don't know, do a bunch of generic kind of explosion pictures or whatever and mystical twinkles and sparkly rainbow. What we need is particle effects. KOL needs particle effects and horseshoes and umbrellas.
Purple horseshoes?
Yeah. Are there umbrellas in Lucky Charms?
How are umbrellas lucky?
Well, they're unlucky if you open them inside a house.
Right, but it's not unlucky charms. Otherwise, there'd be a black cat and a ladder.
You should make unbroken
mirror.
Charms. Yeah, that would be a neat promotion for
the
Lucky
broken
Charms.
Mirror pieces would suck, though.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Marshmallows and the OD pieces and... Ow!
Presumably it's good luck to leave an umbrella closed inside the house, so it could be a closed umbrella.
I don't know if it works that way. I think it's just neutral luck to have a closed umbrella in a house.
Huh.
It's lucky if you don't like getting wet to open an umbrella outside when it's raining.
That's true. That's true. What about horseshoes, though? Horseshoes are not in and of themselves lucky. It's just that storing them upside down is unlucky.
Well, it's because storing them with the points pointing up keeps the luck inside, because the luck is actually stored inside the semicircle.
See, I always thought that it was sort of like neutrality, like the inside of a horseshoe is kind of a bad luck vortex, and keeping the bad luck out, keeping the bad luck contained inside it.
See, I thought it made all the good luck run out of it to turn it upside down.
Where did the good luck come from? I mean, you'd have to manufacture the horseshoe.
The horseshoe is intrinsically lucky. It's the same factory that makes rabbit's feet.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird. You'd think they would also shoe rabbits there, since they got all those molds just right there.
Well, that one time there were rabbits in my garden, I did shoe them.
But then you realized that you were actually locking them in the garden at night after the meteor turned you into a genius?
Uh-huh.
I like John Travolta. Did you ever see that movie?
What the hell movie is that?
Phenomenon.
Do-do-ba-do-bop.
Yeah.
I actually knew that. I just wanted you to say it.
Yeah, okay. Tenurb says, you should remove the clan attack notices from the message board. They're annoying, and the activity logs show them anyway. The clan message board's that. The clan headset will fall off my head momentarily. Clan message boards are going to experience a pretty significant redo at some point. Sometime, and so I don't really want to do little incremental changes to it until that happens. Lieutenant Trachea suggests something that Riff keeps talking about, which is to rebuild the Boner Dagon from its bones, making a Boner Dagon familiar. We'd have to change some of the way that the quest works, because you wouldn't be able to turn the skull in anymore.
Maybe if that was the last chart you needed.
I mean, we could also, now the mechanic exists for the council to know that you have killed the Boner Dagon. I mean, we could just make a slew Boner Dagon flag and set that if you win that combat, and so you wouldn't have to actually have the skull for a turn-in anymore. And we could make the belt.
Make it an option to turn it in so you can get the belt.
Well, we could just make it so you could combine it with a belt to... You could combine the skull with a belt buckle from the palindrome to get
the actual skull itself as a belt buckle. That'd be awesome. Just God, this huge,
giant
dragon skull on your cross.
And then you'd be vulnerable to Clockwork Orange style attacks, because they would hit the skull with a cane and it would hit you in the balls.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens.
That'd be a pretty badass thing to have. Although it's never implied that the Boner Dagon is big. I mean, it could just be like a kind of like they misspelled wasp. Really, really, really badly. Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to figure out different ways for different bones to drop from the Boner Dagon, and then some way to make that happen. But you know, we were talking about doing some more interesting stuff with the boss drops anyway. And some more stuff with the boss, Anova.
And some stuff with Tony Danza?
Yeah. And Bruce Springsteen. What do you suppose would happen if Tony Danza and Bruce Springsteen were in a room at the same time?
I think they'd have to fight to the death. Yeah.
I think I would leave that room.
Yeah.
I don't actually mind Bruce Springsteen that much. Aspartame says, the 2x critical hit on the Vorpal Blade should be replaced with a 5% chance of instantly killing an enemy by beheading. I don't know that that's... I don't know about that. 5% chance of instant killing. That was another thing in that list, actually, was where I had written down that the Vorpal Blade needs to periodically go snicker-snack in combat and something needs to happen.
Yeah.
Instant kill, I think, is probably a little too powerful.
It should go snicker-snack and drop candy.
Yeah, here you go, here's a Snickers snack. Temporary Man says, would it be possible to make the Hades map and the Heavy Metal Sonata use recognize the existence of your heavy metal guitar if it's equipped? Doesn't?
Isn't that kind of the whole point of that quest?
Oh, 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 oh. Yeah, that, yeah, okay, that's actually something that ought to be changed. We should, you know, when we work the palindrome into the level 11 quest, we should look at that, because there are some goofy things about the way that that quest works. Like, it doesn't consume a lot of the stuff, and it really probably ought to.
Like the Hades nuts?
Yeah, I think the Hades nuts and the dog stick around, and that just makes it way, way easier to do the quest the second time around, which we want, yeah, you know, to actually have people spend time in the palindrome instead of just having to fight for some single drop. Anyway, that zone could use another go around, another looking at, another,
you know,
look-see.
That was the first involved quest that went in the game, and it hasn't been touched. That zone pretty much hasn't been touched since we put it in.
Yeah,
that was a while ago. That was the first thing I wrote for.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was when you had just first gotten the.
We should just revert it to the first draft of it that I wrote, where it opens up like four different zones that have one adventure in them. I think before I knew how the game actually worked, and I was still trying to write shit for it.
You should find that document that you wrote. I'm sure I've still got a copy of it somewhere. Some Guy 17 says, I know the next show isn't until Monday, but something that I've always wanted to know is which account, besides Jix and Mr. Skullheads, is the oldest active account? The oldest account that I see log in fairly regularly is In Canoe.
He's number 37.
37, yeah. In a row?
In a row.
In Canoe?
No.
New?
New.
New. I don't think I'm doing it properly.
I always thought he was in Kanu, and now that I know that it's in Kanu, I just can't call him that. He's in Kanu.
Yeah, because the whole avatar with the him being in a canoe, that's... There's, number 12 was the first non-me account, I think. There was Bjorn, who hasn't played in forever. Number 12 was Moonlit Day. Last login, June 19th of 2005. I would say that's not active.
Yeah.
Temporary Man says, in the proud KOL tradition, recycle the cheetah image for the giant cat in the castle in the clouds in the sky. Yeah, I probably should do that. Enemy Lasagna says, hey guys, will there be a seasonal wand that does an element damage depending on the month? Hot on Bill, cold on Doug Timber, spooky on Porktober, stench on April, sleaze on Starch. Why would March be sleazy?
Beware the... Maybe the Ides of March are something inherently sleazy.
April showers bring May pornography.
Bring May golden showers.
March pornography. April. The golden showers would be stench if asparagus was involved.
Yeah.
Vorthok says, rock, paper, or scissors? Rock!
Yeah.
Temporary Man also says, add White Citadel Guy to Mall Shopkeeper list. That's on the list of things that should happen.
Yeah, we meaning Xenophobe, rolled out several new shopkeepers a while back. But that was not in it, because that wasn't there yet.
It didn't exist yet, yeah.
That's a good story.
Bunya Pandler says, what do you think of making snow cones zappable? You could zap a black one, but you wouldn't be able to zap it back. The yellow snow cone shouldn't be included. Actually, being able to zap it but not zap it back is not a mechanism that exists. We'd have to hard code that, and I don't know. Dalgar says, anti-antidote should be combat usable. No reason for it to exist otherwise. That's actually a good point. And then, okay, so what we'll do is we'll make anti-antidote combat usable, and then we'll make, like, two-thirds of the enemies in the game poisonous. O'Grady wants to know why nothing happened on Canada Day.
Because Mr. Skullhead hates Canadians. Canada haunts me.
He also says, while in Ottawa, I noticed an abundance of bums all dressed suspiciously like Riff and who had signs reading, beer, or help me, I'm sober, and one was sleeping in the doorway of my dad's hotel.
How do you know what Riff dresses like?
He's got that picture on his profile.
Is O'Grady somewhere...
The guy wears t-shirts and pants, I mean...
We saw a guy on the corner today who had a sign that says, "I will not move from this spot for 45 days until she gives me her heart."
Wow.
Weird.
It's just some random dude.
What about it?
That's got to be pretty likely to not. Oh yeah, there is that. There is a picture of Riff. He has a player profile pic. Were they all wearing shirts that said STFU? And if so, did you talk to them anyway?
There are times when I see that shirt and I'm just like, I haven't even said anything yet. And he's preemptively shutting me the fuck up. And come on.
Vicky says, is the item at the end of the daily dungeon really random? I've had an unusually large number of days in a row where I got a key corresponding to my main stat. Amazing coincidence. It's not entirely random. You will tend to get keys that you don't already have, if you don't already have all three keys. If you have all three keys, then it is completely random what you get. But if you have fewer than three keys, then it's not. Then it's snot. Rudd says, I wonder if he's related to Paul Rudd. Mr. Skullin, have you seen The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Not yet.
You really must. It's my new favorite movie. Not so much really that, but it's really very good.
I'll have to put that in the queue.
It's although I saw it on HBO. I just kind of had it on for background noise during the trip, and the unrated version actually adds a tremendous amount of very funny stuff to the movie.
That's weird.
And it's weird because it's not... I expected it to be like, you know, 3 5-minute scenes that were cut out or whatever, but it's like 10-15 seconds here and there. So it's seriously like every couple minutes you'll notice something that like a conversation doesn't go on as long in the theatrical version as it does in the... It's really... Unrated should mean... should be director's cut there, I think.
We did watch King Kong last night.
As first time you'd seen it?
Yeah.
I saw it in a theater, unfortunately.
I think the same thing's going to happen to Peter Jackson that happened to Quentin Tarantino, which is now he is important enough that he doesn't have to listen to an editor anymore. So, like, nobody told Quentin Tarantino, you have to make this 1 2.5-hour movie, which it easily could have been instead of two separate films. And nobody told Peter Jackson, like, 30 minutes is way too long to watch King Kong fight a bunch of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
It was so freaking long, that fight. It just... All of those opening scenes, like ship getting stuck on the rock and, you know, the villagers rolling their eyes back in their head. It was just like, cut to villager, cut to screaming girl, repeat for 20 minutes. And it's like, that movie could have been 2 hours long and it would have been really good.
Yeah, I don't know that it would have been really good.
I don't know, I liked it a lot. I just wished that it had been judiciously edited.
Yeah, it really did need to be shorter. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, and, you know, I wouldn't say the same thing about the Lord of the Rings movies. I would say that those could easily have been longer and they still would have been good. Because, you know, there was a lot more material to pack in. But, I mean, making a remake of a movie... And how long was the original King Kong movie?
Probably 80 minutes.
Yeah, it can't. I'm guessing. You can't do that. I don't know. You know, I just, there was nothing good about Kill Bill.
I enjoyed Kill Bill. I just didn't think that it was really about anything at all. And that it would have been fun at maybe an hour and a half. And I think it easily could have been edited that far down.
I don't know. I don't particularly like Uma Thurman. You know, not like I don't like her as an actress, and I don't think she's very attractive. And so there's really nothing there for me. I gotta say, the part where she's in the coffin and punching her way out of it is cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. But that's also pretty much the only thing I remember about all 12 hours of that little epic. I remember David Carradine, and I remember, you know, feeling the same way about David Carradine that I feel about Christopher Lambert, which is just, I'm sorry, but you can't be a badass if you have a lisp.
Yeah.
You just can't. It's not going to happen. You're just making an ass of yourself. An ass of yourself.
Has David Carradine always had that lisp, or did he just get some bad dentures?
I never saw anything with David Carradine. I never saw any of the Kung Fu movies or show or whatever it was. I always thought of David Carradine as somebody who was like supposed to be a badass, right? But no, just can't. Like Christopher Lambert as Raiden, you know, I'm pretty sure that if you were a god, you could lightning your lisp away. You could really control the skies like that. I don't remember feeling that way about Highlander. I remember really liking the original Highlander when I was a kid.
Yeah, I was kind of bored sick by the original Highlander.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
But it had Sean Connery in it.
And I got roped into seeing Highlander 3 with my martial arts nerd friends.
Huh.
You know, the ones that, like Andy Jacks, where they bring Shuriken to school and get mad if you call them nunchucks. And, and Highlander 3 was fucking terrible.
I can imagine. I mean, based on how horrible the second one was.
Well, their whole idea was like, okay, we know the second one was horrible, so we're going to make a new one that ignores the second one and is equally terrible in completely different ways.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Anyway, that all started with a question by Rudd.
Oh, right.
I have a brain of an FBI profile.
when new accounts are created, do the player ID numbers go in order, or are some numbers skipped? Do they go in order?
I wish there were an easy way to collapse that table and kind of get rid of the... Just because we're getting up to 1 million accounts, it would be good if there was a way to move everybody back, you know, like get rid of the empty spaces.
But I don't know. I mean, the way that people feel about player IDs, I think that there's really no point. Because you'd have to keep doing it all the time. You'd have to keep changing your player IDs all the time because every day new gaps would be formed, right? And so anybody who had written any kind of scripts, they would stop working. Like, it would require so many changes to so many tables that it's just kind of like, I mean, if we had been doing that from the beginning, then maybe there would be this infrastructure in place to do that. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I like...
Yeah, Skipperick would be really pissed because she has a tattoo of her player ID.
That's true. Phoenix uses her player ID all over the place, too. It bothers me that there's all these stupid multis going to be created for 1 million. I think that the reward for account number 1 million is probably going to be disablement.
Oh.
If it's an obvious multi. I don't know. Maybe not. Grayson says, we really need an uber hardcore version of the game. Monsters are harder without giving more stats, and being beaten up sends you back to Valhalla. Well, you know, we'll do something cool at some point, someday. You'll see. Parafert says, what do you think of REM's work since Monster was released? I like New Adventures in Hi-Fi, I think, better than I like Monster. Everything else since then, I just have sort of not bought or paid any attention to at all. In my mind, like, the band stopped existing in 2000 because they always said they were going to stop existing in 2000. They always said they would break up December 31st, or if there is a December 31st, 2000, or, you know, 1999. They said they'd break up at the turn of the century. Or they would break up if any one of them ever left. And, like, 2000 came and went, and then one of them left, and they're still fucking making albums. And I just don't care anymore.
Yeah. Everything they did after the drummer left was just kind of what you would expect from a band without a drummer.
No, I mean, New Adventures in Hi-Fi, I think, was after he left.
No, it wasn't.
Well, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Up, Up, Up was the first one that was without him.
Huh.
And it just... It doesn't sound right.
Wait, I thought Up, Up, Up was an Ani DeFranco album.
Oh, maybe there
was
just
Up.
Up. Yeah. It wasn't Up Cubed. I actually like Monster a lot more than a lot of people do.
It has grown on me, but it's taken many, many years to grow on me. Like, I have this syndrome, right? Like, I feel like the Dark Tower series went downhill after The Wastelands. And The Wastelands was the last book that existed when I discovered the series.
Right.
Like, I feel like Apollo 18 was kind of the peak of what They Might Be Giants were doing. And Apollo 18 was the last album that was out when I discovered them. Monster was the first new REM album to come out after I got into REM.
Oh.
So, I mean, I had heard of them, and I had heard some stuff, but I hadn't... Like, when I bought like the entire REM catalog from BMG, it was because I had gotten Automatic for the People, and it was like my favorite album ever.
See, the Monstro was the first REM CD that I bought, and I just really enjoyed it. And then the older stuff, and you know, any other album that's not that one, just seems like a different band.
Huh.
It's like whatever, you know, band did Monster was really good. I don't know if it's an REM album per se, but you know, if it had been a Michael Stipe solo project, I think people would like it better.
Huh.
Just yeah, because it's not an REM album, you know.
It, I mean, it kind of, one thing that kind of bugs me about Monster, it's like I like the REM songs where you can understand the lyrics,
uh-huh.
which is why I really like, you know, my favorite REM albums are sort of the band around Green. It's like Automatic for the People, Green, Life's Rich Pageant, and Document. You know, and before that, Fables of the Reconstruction really grew on me, but like all the ones before that, where you just kind of, he's just kind of mumbling, you know, you can't really understand any of the lyrics, and there are theoretically just aren't any lyrics. He was just kind of mumbling a lot of the time.
Huh.
And that's irritating to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I used to be really, really into REM. Like, I have all these books about REM and stuff, and I was just, like, super enthusiastic as a fan, and they just kind of vanished in my mind. It's like, I'm still, I listen to They Might Be Giants a lot more still than I, you know, than I ever listened to REM. I would say I listen to Nine Inch Nails more frequently than I listen to REM.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean...
SPNerology asks, what is the point to KOL? Get a lot of meat, beat the game over and over, get on the leaderboards. What is it? It's all three of those to different people, and to some, it's get on the chat and hang out.
Yeah, what's the point of life, Spinirology?
It's a, for some, the point is to see how many people they can scam before their account gets disabled, and those people generally find out that it's a fairly short amount of time.
Redpot says, if self-buffs aren't buffs, then what are they called? They're skills. They're just skills. We should stop calling them self-buffs. I think we created that terminology.
Yeah.
Redpot also says, maybe when you open a box of sunshine, it says who sent you that box. Well, it can't know who sent you that box. So, he also asked a question, which is a pretty fucking good question. When are the new servers coming out? I totally forgot about that. Like, the fact that our hardware changes and our administration stuff is so fire and forget now has kind of... What the hell is happening to the
cat fight?
I see. Like, the hot kind with the girls in the living room, or, like, the boring kind with actual cats?
No, it's Sengetsu and Leroy, and now they're getting close to my chair. Stop it.
All right, so, their servers are there in the rack... That we paid for the electrical wiring that had to be done, and they were supposed to be set up, and then I spent so long out of town, and then I just never talked to the guy. I have no idea what the fuck is going on with that. Now I'm going to call them and be all mad. How dare you go so long without contacting me about this?
I am Oz, the great and terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cornhole you in the shower.
Neat. Yeah, how would the floating head cornhole you?
Well, I was just trying to mix the two. I don't know.
Did you ever listen to KSLX, the classic rock station in Prescott, when we were in high school?
Oh, yeah.
So, do you remember the Wonderful Russ thing?
No.
There were just these random bits that they would play in between songs, and they weren't commercials for anything. I think they were maybe like they were some skits from the morning show, but it would just be like... Hello, Wonderful Russ here. And the only one that I remember, there were just a bunch of them. They were like maybe like a minute or two long speech. He was like, did I ever tell you about the time I cornholed 30,000 people at once? And he talks about going to some concert, like having everybody in the concert all lined up and say, women on your backs, men on your stomachs, I'm coming through. Just this story about how he cornholed 30,000 people, and then it just ends, you know, like, oh, that was a neat story, Wonderful Russ. I guess I could do a Google search. Maybe somebody remembers that and wrote something about it, but...
Jellobois said he was able to get into Buck 6 and Buck 7, But he had
no. Those are just redirects to box one at this point. I know the boxes 6 and 7 are not up because when we push code out, we get a readout of each box that it goes to, and it's not going there yet.
Oh yeah, duh. Because you can log into box. People for a while had this rumor that if you logged into a certain number, it would redirect you to a super fast server, and it would be like
www69fart.com.
Yeah.
Vlad Slipshod says, so I missed your Thursday show to watch the new Pirates of the Caribbean and Keira Knightley. Have any of you seen it yet? All of us have seen it yet.
Indeed. I was going to ask if you had seen it, and then I realized that was a real dumb question.
Yeah, you know, the next night I ran into Patrick, and I was like, so we saw Pirates of the Caribbean last night with you. Remember that?
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was funny. So I don't remember actually talking to you about it. How did it make you feel?
It was so hard trying to get out of that theater, I think, that we didn't get a chance to chat about it.
Yeah, that was...
But I feel like it's shaping up to be a better trilogy than the new Star Wars trilogy, which is not hard. But it seems like they deepened the mythology in kind of an interesting way, and they've established this kind of world and some themes, and I don't know. I thought it was smarter than people are giving it credit for, and it was just really fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really have any problems with it overall. The only thing that I can say kind of makes me like, God damn it, is... And I knew this was going to happen because I accidentally read a plot. I accidentally read a plot summary.
Wow.
Because I thought it was speculation, right, on the Wikipedia article about it, like a couple weeks before it came out. But
don't spoil it.
Oh, right. Yeah, never mind.
The ending of it bothered you?
Yeah, the ending of it bothered me because I can't think of a good explanation.
Yeah,
for that.
It seems like they just want to kind of bring everybody together. What I couldn't figure out was why the monkey was still cursed.
Yeah, that's...
The monkey must have stolen one piece of the Aztec gold after they lifted the curse and taken it with him. So I wonder if in the special edition of the entire trilogy they're going to have an added scene where the monkey just kind of grabs a coin and sticks it in his vest.
I mean, maybe, you know, it could be that the curse works forward on monkeys but not backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, that honestly, I thought about that, but then I was like, you know, I don't care. It's you know, it's obviously this comic relief thing. I think it's funny that the comic relief is a monkey that he keeps shooting rather than it just be, you know, like, because the monkey's fucking evil looking, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, I'm okay with stuff that's... Okay, it bothered me that there were so many animal hybrids in Davy Jones's crew.
Oh, I thought that was really cool.
See, because the way that I felt about it, okay, you look at Bootstrap Bill, right? Living underwater for hundreds of years, sure, you might get a starfish stuck to your face.
Right.
But no matter how long your corpse is underwater, it's not going to turn into a shark.
No, right? But that's kind of the mystical thing that Davy Jones has going on. You don't, like, turn into a walking corpse, you turn into parts of the ocean. So some of them looked like blowfish. One guy had the really cool, like, anemones coming out of his eye sockets thing. And
Davy Jones himself. But most of them, right, okay, but that's the problem. Most of them did just look like corpses that had been underwater for a long time, and it's like,
I'm a walking reef.
You know, like, it would have been okay. Okay, so I didn't think of Davy Jones as ever having been a person. Right. That's something that is actually, I guess, just wrong.
Yeah.
According to the story, right? He somehow turned into a squid by being down there that long and whatever.
Right.
And, you know, if he was of some, like, fantastical species, you know, if he was a mythological creature and the rest of his crew also was, then it would have been one thing, but there wasn't that division because the blowfish guy was, like, half a blowfish.
Yeah.
And the guy with the shell I thought was really lame and just totally unnecessary.
I like that he turned into a hermit crab.
Yeah, but why didn't he turn into a hermit crab the first time? It would have benefited him to turn into a hermit crab. You know,
maybe it hurts.
Yeah, it's the sword fight on the wheel. Whoa, okay. Fusiliban says, at the end of the first monkey, at the end of the first movie, you see the monkey steal a coin and then turn back to undead.
Oh, no kidding.
So
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that at all.
Doesn't
he says that that's the very last scene of the first movie.
No, the very last scene is him going, drink up, ye hearties, yo ho, and
closing his compass. Maybe it's after his credits.
I don't know. I really like the character of Davy Jones too, because it's the boozed up rocker from Love Actually.
Yeah, Bill Nighy,
who apparently in every role has to do at least a couple of times. Judging by Underworld. Hey, have you seen Underworld?
I have. Yeah, yeah. Have I paid $50 for it, even though I don't own it? Is the question. Yes. Also that.
I honestly, though, if I had a choice between owning Underworld and paying $50 to not own Underworld, if I had to display it in my DVD rack, I probably would pay the $50.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that part, though, that part of Underworld I thought was really cool. The, you know, they decided that it was a bad idea for more than one of the elder vampires to ever be alive at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like they keep them just all desiccated and bring them back to life. Like, because, you know, that's a neat part of the vampire mythology, that if it, like, what happens to a vampire if you don't, like, kill him with a stake or whatever, but he just doesn't eat? You know, I mean, White Wolf says torpor, but you can always be brought back. Anne Rice says you get buried and lay under the ground and you're too weak to move until a bug crawls into your mouth.
Until Jesus comes and saves you.
Oh, wait, really? Is that just what happened to Anne Rice in her real life?
Yeah. You heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, speaking of old ones, Iron Maiden 777 just logged off.
No kidding.
That blows. Sad to have missed her. Oh, well, so yeah, I think we both would say, like, I really like Pirates of the Caribbean, and the more bad reviews of it I read, I like it all the more. It's like, one of the things they keep complaining about is, well, it didn't have a real ending. Like, well, neither did Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, well, okay, see, I would, however, make the claim that it didn't have a real ending because Empire Strikes Back didn't have a real ending.
Yeah.
I gotta say, though, that it's a much better rehash of that formula than The Matrix.
Yeah.
You know. Because, I mean, Empire and Return of the Jedi were kind of the same long movie. You know, I mean, the first one was separate and the second two were together. Same thing with The Matrix. I mean, I'm sure the same thing with Pirates of the Caribbean, because the bad guy's not dead.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, the whole thing, you know, Jack's off in the ether somewhere. And I don't know. I keep comparing it to Empire Strikes Back and Time Bandits, neither of which, I don't think it's as good as either of those, but it's pretty good. I mean, it was better than, like, The Mummy. Like, I think it's actually going to be a decent trilogy and not just kind of doing the same thing and milking it for money.
Yeah, there were no stupid-ass lines in this one. There were no times, and I think this is largely due to the fact that Keira Knightley didn't have nearly as many lines in this one. There was no just try wearing a corset that makes me just wince when I think about how horrible and hackneyed the mechanism that they're trying to use is.
Right. I just, the one line that I wish they hadn't had in there, though, is Jack's on the ship and he's drinking his bottle of rum and the rum bottle is empty and he kind of looks at it sadly and everyone in the audience is going, "Why is the rum gone?" And then he says it. "Why is the rum always gone?" It's like, that was unnecessary. I think it would have been funnier if they just left the audience to say that.
I like that, you know, a woman of your stature should wear a dress or nothing at all, and I happen to have no dress in my quarters.
Yeah.
There were a lot of, like, I actually laughed out loud at the movie a lot of times, and that's not something that normally happens even during comedies with me.
Yeah, so
maybe I'm just getting more relaxed and happier in my old age.
I think that woman over there in the Vibora shirt has a lot to do with that.
That could be.
No, the other one. The one in the kitchen.
Yeah, we have wife uniforms tonight.
Phoenix, are you barefoot?
It's actually like tattoo packing sweatshop.
Are you pregnant?
I don't know.
Yeah, Phoenix is barefoot and in the kitchen, but not pregnant, so we didn't hit that trifecta yet.
Fred Levi says, you should create a Nerf crossbow that's overpowered, so when you fix it, it'll be a Nerf. Yeah. So, something that I'm gonna talk about after the break is something that I'm sure everybody wants me to talk about now, which is the homeopathic powder Nerf, which you're gonna be both disappointed and pleased with what I have to say about that, I think. But for now, we should play a few minutes of music. What would you like to hear, Mr. Skullhead? I'm going to go ahead and stick Rhyming and Stealing back into the queue. And anything else?
You might as well play some R.E.M. since we talked about it.
True dat. Just need to find them, and the network drive is real, real slow. There's gotta be a better solution than this. Navigating from directory to directory on this network drive takes like 30 seconds if it's a big directory for the goddamn index to load in Explorer. And there's gotta be some way for this not to happen. There's gotta be some solution for people in offices to have like, you know. Wow, there's some crazy shit going on in the other room. Yeah, so I can't actually get to any of my music. Oh, there it is, finally. And I click on the REM directory, and it takes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, 10. Still not there. Yeah, this blows. Let's play some stuff off Life's Rich Pageant.
Sure.
So we'll play Begin the Begin. We'll play, what do you want to hear? Something off Monster.
Sure.
What's a good song on Monster? Strange Currencies.
You like Strange Currencies?
Yeah.
Oh, that confuses me.
That's the one song that I can say that I just absolutely and unequivocally liked.
Huh.
Since the first time I heard it. I really like Star 69, too.
Hmm.
When then some old REM. No, we played some old REM last time. Play something off Fables. How about Maps and Legends? So that gives us like 10 minutes, which we should be good with.
Alright.
We'll see you kids in 10 minutes.
Tonight. Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. 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 Punching and cracking and robbing and stealing. Robbing and raping, but the two in his family.
Chance, a fourth chance, a whatever.
Hey, everybody. Sorry, I didn't realize that the Beastie Boys song was actually still in the mix there. It was a vagary of the way that Sam works. Sam, you know, from Who's the Boss?
I always think of Sam as from Bewitched and the annoyed whichever Darren it was who would always in every episode go, Sam?
Huh. I don't know that
Dick
I can...
Sergeant.
In my mind, I don't know that I can actually see two Darrens. I think there's one Darren that was on most of the episodes that I saw.
Yeah, if you see a picture of the two of them together, it just... They don't look appreciably different, you know, if you weren't paying attention.
Really? They gotta sound different. It's gotta be the kind of thing that you would notice if you watched the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was reading Wikipedia about Pirates of the Caribbean, and it is after the credits.
Oh, okay. Well, Jesus, I've had that movie for a couple of years now and watched it many, many times and didn't know that was in there.
Crazy. Yeah, it says if a viewer continues to watch the movie after the end credits, they will see a final scene on Isla de Muerta. Barbossa's pet monkey, Jack, climbs out of the water and onto the chest where he takes a piece of the treasure. His skin sloughs off and he looks at the camera for a moment before pouncing forward, the scene disappearing into his mouth. Though, wouldn't that make the rest of the crew get cursed also?
No, because the curse only applies to whoever stole, you know, had a hand in stealing the gold.
Yeah, but they still had a hand in stealing it.
Well, if only the monkey stole the gold, then.
Oh. Where did the gold end up? Did it just stay there?
Yeah, they had to find all the gold and put it back in the chest.
Oh.
So taking it out of the chest is what dooms you.
So I see. So once it was all back in the same place, then the sort of theft counter gets reset?
Yeah.
Huh. Yep. I did kind of like... I liked the two characters, the comic relief characters from the first one. They were still in the second one.
Hey, having the dumb character who starts being very eloquent is kind of a established comedy trope, but it just worked really well when they did it. You know, hey, pondering the dichotomy of good and evil.
How to pronounce
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the line, it's the Bible, you get credit for trying. Okay, so I'm looking at a picture of Dick York and of Dick Sargent, and they damn near, I don't know, they look close enough to each other that you wouldn't really know the difference if you weren't paying attention.
Huh. Not like when they replaced Becky in Roseanne.
Yeah.
With totally different persons.
Oh, by the way, we're having a discussion in Clan on how we still need to put Mrs. Skullhead as account number 14.
Yes. Make the account and don't activate it, and I'll change it. Although, no, actually, you probably can't. I don't think you can make an account with the name Skullhead.
Probably
so just
not.
Make an account, and I'll change both the name and the player ID. Slow on me says, there should be a random adventure on the road to White Citadel where Neil Patrick Harris steals your bitchin' meat car. Oh, it's coming. Sable Force says, did you know that your game is illegal in China because it has PvP? Well, that and the superstitious content. Really?
Man, maybe China has ceased to be cool.
Cyan220 says, I finally got my fiancée to create an account, but she wasn't too thrilled by the tutorial stuff. Do you have a message for her to listen to that would encourage her to keep playing? Keep playing or we will kill your fiancée.
Yep.
And he also complains that you can't use accordion thief buffs without an accordion. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
Someone else says, how many people have their badger named Weeble? I'm not actually... That is a pain in the ass to check, so I'm not going to start checking that kind of thing for people. The Gorloth thing was interesting, but no more. Bahu says, what's the turnaround on custom avatars look like with your new system in place? Well, so far, 1 month. It seems to be working fluidly. Swimmingly. Nightfall asks why there's no flying spaghetti monster. I'm not so much on the flying spaghetti monster tip. Like, I just don't think it's that clever.
Mm.
Yeah, the Lego church was cool, but whatever. Any giant church made out of Legos is going to be cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just...
Have you seen the non-cool giant church?
Skullcracker 13, or the church with the cat in it? No, come on, that's still cool. It's just cool in a different way. Skullcracker 13 asked if Rob Zombie ever talks on Radio KOL. I don't think so.
Are we talking about the... Since he didn't put a space in there, I was wondering if he was talking about an actual musician or a player, but there is no player by that name, so... Yeah. We did get Gene Ray, though.
That's true.
And I fully intended, when I had a radio show, to try and get Frontalot to do an interview, and now that maybe I'm going to have another show, I'll see if I can get him on there.
Oh, yeah? Are you picking up a shift?
I'm going to try. I'm going to see what's available. If I can pick up a couple of hours that are during the time I would be here anyway,
yeah.
Then I figure I can, you know, write Monster Attacks while I'm playing music.
Yeah, totally, totally. I mean, it's and I mean that like counts as work. If yeah. you feel bad about that.
It's hard for me and you also to deal with the radio people because I don't want to get any special treatment. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to say, oh, I'd kind of like a Wednesday afternoon and just have them bump somebody.
Yeah, just have them kick somebody up. But I mean, I guess if you think about it in terms of the people being, I mean, it's not like they would just kick somebody up. They would say, hey, would you mind giving your Wednesday afternoon shift to Mr. Skullhead? And who's going to say they would mind, I guess. But that's just, yeah, it makes me uncomfortable. No, that's neat, though. I think that you could actually, if you want to, I think that you'll be able to use Sam, because surely the license will allow us to use it on more than one computer if we don't ever use them at the same time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Or you can set up Winamp to broadcast. I just have never gotten that to work, so I don't have the mad skills that everybody else has, including Nama. I saw her, like, she got my laptop broadcasting onto Radio KOL in, like, 10 minutes. And it was something that I had never been able to pull off. No matter how much time I had. Shaggy says, do the new cola drinks work with the canteen? No, it's a canteen, not a cup teen. Yeah, that was Hot Stuff's terrible, terrible joke. AMF says, with the mayor's Zaproot request, when you already have all the fairies, why do you have to bring another mushroom to get the equipment? You just do. It's part of the quest. The monkey says, should it be possible to have players on both your contact and ignore list?
Sure.
Enemy Lasagna asks, what are our favorite quests out of the current ones?
Favorite quests?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. I like all of my quests. I like my children. My favorite is the Elite Trapsaur quest.
Especially the most involved.
Especially the goat let. I mean, anybody who's been in lounge when I'm on that quest has heard me talk about how wonderful it is.
Mm-hmm. Gerbil Man asks if we've ever been to a nudist colony.
Yeah, nope. My life is a nudist colony.
Yeah. Istanbul asks if there are any plans to bring back old Mr. A items at any time. No.
No.
Sarge247 says, how did you come up with the name Kingdom of Loathing? Well, first, I got about $40,000 in venture capital and decided to use $20,000 of that to hire a random sampling of people from all over the country for a focus group. And, kind of just the focus group, I had them read the dictionary until they found a word that they liked.
Yeah.
And it was of. And then I just made up the rest.
Excellent.
Grayson says, did you ever imagine you'd reach a million accounts? Oh, yeah. Like, when I was talking to the venture capital people in the very early days, you know, I was like, we will have a million accounts in 3 years. That's how great this is going to be. If only there are 10 million people using the internet every day, and if only one out of every 100,000 gives us $10, we stand to make that.
$7.
That's the start of a style of speech that I just am never going to listen to the end of. Yeah, no, I never really imagined. I honestly figured that if the game got more popular than I dreamed that it would, that we would maybe have 10,000 people playing total,
yeah,
ever. And I'm just as stymied by the success as anybody else, and stymied. Hogula says, why is it a potion of temporary greatness and not a potion of temporary greatness? The T sound is already in the eight. Ah, that's true.
The T is there for extra support.
Yeah. Precariously placed tentacle asks if negative status effects will be a larger part of the game for NS13 and how so. I don't know. I mean, that's the kind of thing that I definitely want to mess with a little bit, is to have the monsters start to do a little bit more varied things to you. But I don't know that that's necessarily going to be part of NS13. That seems like the kind of thing that would just, like, roll out at whatever point I got a bug on my ass to write a bunch of it, figure out mechanically, actually, to figure out how it would work mechanically, and then give it to Scully and Riff to write. Armax says, now that the Ascension Tester portrait contest is done, are there any plans to make, sell, or give out posters of the winning entries, maybe as a giveaway or order by demand basis? I would like to have posters of the winning entries just for the office here. I don't know that it's something I would want to make and sell. I don't know that that's actually anything that anybody would want to buy. I would say that in general, I mean, I feel like anybody could just ask Master Bates, hey, can I have a giant tiff of that to take to Kinko's? And so if you want to buy a poster, yeah.
Wait, I didn't see that he had announced the winners for that. I'll have to go
buy a poster. I think he's waiting for me for some kind of prize thing that I said I would give him. But so, a lot of people... all right, Grayson says, last week's Tuesday update was the best yet. Do you have anything amazing planned for this week? Yeah, don't get your hopes up about something on the scale of last Tuesday's content update, because we would have to have already been working on it for the last 48 hours, and we haven't been. So there'll be some stuff. We'll be putting some things in, some things and some stuff. Button says, I'm a bit baffled by the nerf on the homeopathic healing powder. Is this intentional? Okay, so what happened is, the homeopathic healing powder was supposed to be an item that doubled the effectiveness of the next stat booster that you used. The way that it was coded, and this was completely unintentional, if you multi-used 15 stat boosters, it would double all of them instead of only doubling the first one. It was reported, Riff and I looked at it and kind of talked about it and was like, you know, this is really not that big of a deal, so it's not worth going in and fixing just to fix that. But today, Xenophobe was in there fixing something else, and so he fixed it to make it look like it was, you know, to make it work like it was supposed to work in the beginning. However, looking at it today, I have realized that it doesn't actually work the way that I intended it to work, at least. And so I can see why people are I guess underwhelmed would be kind of an understatement. By the way it works now, I don't think that I actually ever said this to anybody while it was being made, so I mean this is nobody's fault but my own, but I always intended for it to work on the WADs, and that alone makes it indispensable for certain purposes. Not in general, not in a hardcore run, not in a softcore run, whatever. I mean, well, maybe in a softcore run. I don't know. I don't know if it would ever be worth it to pull a WAD in softcore. I mean, it might be worth it to pull something that would smash into three WADs to get the stats out of it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, if it were useful on the WADs. I mean, people say now, like, you know, the best you can do with this is it's, you know, one adventure and 200 meat for 10 substat points. And yeah, that sucks and is not worth doing. But you look at the number of substat points that the WADs give you, it is going to be worth spending an adventure to get that many extra stats. You know, especially out of one of the elemental WADs that does a lot of stuff. So it is... I stand behind Xenophobe's decision to fix that. It's not something that I would have ever gotten around to going in and fixing, but it wasn't working the way that it was supposed to. So, you know, this was a fix and not a nerf. And the thing is, if you guys are this pissed about the nerf, then Riff and I were wrong about this not being a big deal. If you're honestly saying that this makes the Badger useless to you, then it was really fucking overpowered, or you wouldn't feel like this, right? So we were wrong in saying that it wasn't a big deal. So it did need to be fixed. So, haha. See how I've turned that around? And you're now proving yourself wrong, you jerks? That thread made me mad, because I don't even remember who said anything. But, like, there are very few ways for somebody to get a rise out of me in the forums. But somebody posted, what the fuck? Don't they even test things before they roll them out? And whenever we make a mistake and then somebody uses that mistake to, like, attack our sort of methodology, our development process. I think, you know, maybe you should go play a free web-based game that's put together by some ISO 9000 compliant corporation with a big QA department where everything gets really exhaustively tested before it sees the light of day. And then I think, oh wait, there aren't any of those. So, like, seriously, yes, we fucking test stuff before we roll it out, but occasionally, because it is more important to us to get new content out there than it is to exhaustively test everything for weeks, on the off chance that we've made some minor mistake, something is going to go out there with a minor mistake in it. And this was a pretty minor mistake, and, you know, it was corrected. So, yeah, whoever that guy is, you're a jerk. And now I'm over it, and we can be friends again.
It just seems strange to me that there was a lot less outcry about the black snow cone, or the purple snow cone nerf.
Well, I mean, the purple snow cone, even after the nerf, was still really useful to people, and I can see right. why they would be really disappointed with the way the homeopathic powder works now. The thing is, you know, to them, the homeopathic powder was like the highlight of the violet fog, whereas to us, it was a, we're out of ideas, we need something throwaway to put in here. To balance out the food slash booze affecting things.
Yep.
You know, and it's...
So since the fix, it's now at the same power as the other two, which is what we intended in the first place.
Yeah. Although, you know, stat boosters are just not nearly as important as food and booze, you know?
Yeah.
So it's... And that's also, you know, that's why Oxy is the most restrictive path, you know? Anyway, like I said, once it applies to WADs, there's going to be a market for them. If nothing else, you're going to be able to sell them in the mall for a lot of meat because people who are power leveling are going to need 15 of them every day, which is more than one person can produce in order to most effectively power level. So, yeah. Yeah. Everybody's talking about it. Yeah. Button says, say, is there some method to how the eight competitors in KWE are picked each week besides the victor staying? Why haven't we seen Woldo since April? I think it's totally random, except that the victor stays. Unless you told Xenophobe Decoded in some specific way.
No, it should just be randomly picking them each time.
Yeah. Has anybody ever won twice in a row?
I don't know. I haven't been keeping track.
No. Glebe says, which do you prefer, emulators or console games? It depends. I mean, I don't like having to drag out a Super Nintendo every time I want to play a Super Nintendo game. But given the choice, I mean, if I could snap my fingers and be playing Super Metroid on an actual Super Nintendo hooked up to a television without me having to fuck with any wires, I would rather do that than have an emulator. But
yeah, that's why we keep our Super Nintendo hooked up all the time.
Yeah.
I do, having started to play around with the 8-bit emulator, I just miss the controller. It's just not the same playing it with a keyboard, especially because the buttons and the arrow keys are reversed from the way the controller's set up. So it's kind of jarring.
Yeah, I can see that, though I think... honestly, that if I got used to it, I would rather have the control pad on my more dexterous hand and the button mashing done with my less dexterous hand.
See, I do have the control pad on my most dexterous hand.
Yeah, well, see, there you go. I am better at Nintendo games on a keyboard than I am with a Nintendo controller.
Huh.
So it's... Super Nintendo is a little hard because having four buttons to keep track of on a keyboard, or six in the games that require that, is really irritating. I like an Atari. I had an Atari hooked up when we first moved to Phoenix. We started going through thrift stores and buying every Atari and every Atari game that they had, and had an Atari hooked up for a long, long time. And I played me some Atari like every day.
Yeah,
I should hook up an Atari at my house. I should get a. I wonder if I could figure out how to hook it up to the monitor on my computer so it could just be, like, kind of sitting there under the desk or whatever. Or get an Atari joystick. I bet somebody makes an Atari joystick that plugs into a USB port.
Well, they also make an Atari joystick that plugs into the TV and has a bunch of games on it.
Yeah, but, I mean, we bought just hundreds of Atari games. Right? So it's not going to... I mean, everything is going to have Pitfall on it or whatever, but, like, I want to play 30 weird, shitty games in a row sometimes. you know, not just River Raid over and over again.
Yeah.
I never had SeaQuest when I was a kid, but I played the shit out of me some SeaQuest when we got the new Atari.
I remember you posting that, yeah.
That was the only game that I ever actually beat the score required to earn that patch, the patches they used to give out. So Loopy Chica says, on NPR, there was this guy named Zach Johnson whose dream it was to race pigs. He makes like a grand a day doing it at county fairs. By and large, I prefer what I do to racing pigs at county fairs.
I think so.
I mean, Zach Johnson's of the world, unite and take over. When I first got on the internet, I looked up everyone that I could find on the internet named Zach Johnson, and I sent out an email to all, like, 10 or 11 of them saying, Zach Johnson's of the world, unite and take over, and nobody replied to me, I don't think. Uriel3ka says, happy belated birthday, Jick, and congrats to you, Mr. Skullhead, and your wives on getting married. The next time I send any screech, I'll make sure to send extra.
Screech?
That might be a reference to something that I've forgotten about.
Maybe scratch.
Did you hear about Screech and how he's losing his house and begging for money on the internet?
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see the Fuck Screech site?
No.
That was pretty funny.
I think he and and Wesley Crusher should get join forces and do something.
But, I mean, Will Wheaton is actually...
Yeah, Will Wheaton is very cool.
...doing interesting stuff. Yeah. He's a smart guy. Like, Dustin Diamond, I don't fucking know. I mean, the last thing that he did was sort of randomly appear in Maid. That was the last time I'd thought about him, and the first time I'd thought about him in years prior to that.
He was on Celebrity Boxing and got beaten up by Horshack. From
Horshack.
From Welcome Back, Kotter.
Oh, I never actually saw Welcome Back, Kotter. There's this eerie mirror. My wife is saying things behind me, and Mr. Skullhead is saying things to the side of me, and they're the same things.
So which one of us is the clown, and which one is the Joker?
Not sure. Jeffrey Duke says, oh, and since last Monday I asked you about City of Villains, I meant to ask you on Thursday, did you see the new Superman, and did you like it? I didn't see it. There keep being times when we think we're going to go see the new Superman, and then we're just like, yeah, I don't really want to see it. I kind of could just as easily wait for it to be on HBO.
I wanted to see it in the theater, and still do, even though I keep getting told that it's not that great and I'm going to be disappointed in it.
I think we're going to try and arrange a group trip to the drive-in to see it.
Oh, that would be cool.
Because going to the drive-in, like, even if a movie sucks, at least you're drunk.
Right.
You know, like...
Where is the drive-in?
It's really close to here, actually. It's on the road that McClintock turns into. It's like three, 4 miles from here.
So let's do that sometime this week, though. That would kick some ass. It will probably be the case that since I've been told by so many different people whose opinions I respect that it was not so great, I'll probably love it.
Or at least it won't seem as bad.
Yeah, having your expectations adjusted like that, like... So many people telling me The Matrix was the most awesome thing in the world ever made me not really like the movie when it came out.
No, I only had one person tell me that, and I was still... I don't think I could have been less whelmed by The Matrix.
I like The Matrix, but I was still going nuts over Dark City, which had just...
Right.
I was just about to say that, you brain-sharing man. It's kind of like... I resent the success of The Matrix because Dark City really didn't do that well, and it was much better.
I have to say that The Matrix is less convoluted than Dark City, and I think that's why it's more popular. I think The Matrix is the same idea, and the same idea is... The thing is, I guess to some people, thinking about something like that was, like, totally novel. It never occurred to anybody that we could all be brains in jars and, you know, none of this is real, but, like... I mean, you know, to the kind of kids that used to have arguments about the speed of light around the lunch table in junior high, you know, like,
yeah,
that kind of thing has already occurred to you, and like, it just wasn't that good. I mean, fucking Keanu Reeves, it doesn't matter how good a movie is, if Keanu Reeves is the hero and it's not a comedy, it's not that good.
I still say that Constantine, if you forget that there is a Hellblazer cartoon, was excellent.
I
really enjoyed it.
It was... I'm glad that I saw it, but I'm not going to say that it was good.
Maybe I'll know.
It was a good movie to, like, Mystery Science Theaterize a little bit.
See, after I saw it, I thought, and now I really wish they would then go ahead and make a John Constantine movie. Because this was just kind of this cool supernatural thriller thing that had some interesting stuff going on. But
it certainly wasn't
akin to the comic story at all.
I liked the conception of hell.
Yeah.
In the movie. I mean, where it was just sort of like a slightly shifted parallel dimension where everything was on fire. And that's cool.
Right.
You know, like what happened to Hanks. Although that was time, not dimensional shift. But my only exposure to Constantine in comics is in the Books of Magic.
Uh-huh.
Which he appears in the very first one, and then he's in Life During Wartime, which is the current Books of Magic series that's running.
I have a copy of Dangerous Habits, which is my favorite story.
Where was Constantine? Like, what was his origin? What was the first stories that he appeared in? What was the first book?
His origin was as a background character in Swamp Thing.
Oh. I keep hearing good things about Swamp Thing. I've not either. I think I had a single Swamp Thing comic book when I was, like, little. But, like, I just keep hearing people talk about Swamp Thing as though it kind of defined it sort of bridged the gap and really illustrated the difference and the transition between comics being all superhero-y and comics actually being about stuff.
If you get the Alan Moore series, the stuff that Alan Moore wrote for Swamp Thing is really good and is definitely something that the Sandman / the Garth Ennis, Warren Ellis, Neil Gaiman crowd would enjoy.
I took the pile of comic books that I had bought and not read yet to Prescott with me, and after I finished Papillon, I read a bunch of them, and there's some good fucking comic books. I'm kind of sad that it took me 10 years to listen to The Pretentious Artist and actually give comic books a chance. Because he was trying, even in high school, he was like, I can't believe you're not into comics. Like, you are the kind of person who would be into comics. I don't understand why you don't like comics. And I was like, whatever. Comics are for fags and Mexicans. And Mexican fags. And that all my friends were fags and Mexicans.
Right.
And Mexican fags. I didn't think I actually knew any gay Mexicans, but I totally do. That's weird. Yeah. Oh Yes says, how about a Just a Gigolo familiar? Chance of seducing / disgusting enemies into fumbling. David Lee Roth jokes abound. David Lee Roth is kind of his own joke. Enemy lasagna acid bags of goodies will ever be useful for a clan? No. Seed says, status report on the PvP changes? Yeah, that's a frustrating situation. I'm supposed to do some stuff, and I don't really understand what it is. There should be some PvP changes rolling out pretty soon. Maybe I'll try to stick that into tomorrow's Tuesday update and just roll what I've got and see what happens. Probably easier to ask for forgiveness than permission in cases like this. Lil Snarfer says, why does Sangria del Diablo come before Sangria in the inventory? Alphabetically, it should be the other way around. Sorry about that, folks. That nobody ever calls this phone. And it's like my grandma's phone from the 70s, which is why it's so loud. It really is my grandma's phone from the 70s. I looked at that. That's what I was doing right before the show, actually. Some bit of weirdness about the string sort function that's being used in the inventory is causing that to not go in like actual alphabetical order. And I need to see if there's another sort function that accomplishes the same thing and makes sense. Walla Walla 23 asks if we've seen Shaun of the Dead. It's hilarious, and British accents always make a movie funnier. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Shaun of the Dead. Have those guys done anything else? Do you know anything about the people who made that movie, Mr. Skullhead?
Which movie, sorry?
Shaun of the Dead.
No, actually, I still haven't seen Shaun of the Dead.
No,
so
shit.
That'll have to go on the Netflix queue.
Wait, I have it, actually. I'll try and remember to bring it in here. Actually, I think the wife has it. The Telf says, hey, JNS, you mentioned previously that you're fans of Monty Python. Have you ever seen any of the series episodes? Who's your favorite Python? Yeah, I've seen... I think, didn't MTV used to play Flying Circus episodes at night?
Yeah, they had a...
didn't Mr. Skullhead used to actually listen while we were doing the radio show?
And Safeway, they had a box set of every single episode for like $100.
At Safeway?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Because I was already spending like $200 on food.
Weird. That doesn't seem like the kind of thing that they would say at... They sell it Safeway. I don't know what percentage of Flying Circus episodes I have seen, but it's got to be up there. I don't know that. I think the ones that I thought were the funniest in the Monty Python stuff, and then thinking about the ones that, like, John Cleese really bothers me because he just won't stop being John Cleese all loud at everybody now and constantly appearing in things. And I feel like Graham Chapman kind of had the right idea. Like, drinking himself to death before he had the chance to suffer the indignity of being an aging celebrity. But, you know.
I don't know. Like, I like John Cleese, and it's Eric Idle that kind of irritates me because he is the one who's in charge of making more stuff with the Monty Python name on it.
Hmm.
And so he just kind of like everything.
How did he end up with? Was the one that ended up with copyright rights to all of it, or?
Yeah, I mean, I gather that everything that he does, everybody gets the money for. But he's the only one interested in putting out new stuff, like the Monty Python Holy Grail CD-ROM game. All of the new content in it is just his voice.
Huh.
And, God, that game is the most irritating fucking thing on the planet.
See, I thought it was neat. Like, yeah.
Oh,
like,
I hated it.
I mean, I didn't so much see it as a game, as like a piece of really annoying performance art that you paid a lot for.
It was a game mechanism that I didn't appreciate in a point and click, where you click on something 12 times, and the 13th time is the time that it does something to allow you to move on.
Yeah,
because I would go through every screen and click on everything that I could click on, and then, well, shit, I've already clicked on everything and nothing happened, so I guess I don't get to play anymore. And then somebody said, oh no, you click on that thing 12 times and then you get to move forward. Like, well, that's annoying.
My dad met Terry Jones at a medievalist convention. He sent me an autographed copy of his new book about barbarians and Romans.
Which one is Terry? Terry Jones? Is Terry Jones the one that does the travelogue show? No, that's Michael Palin.
No, Terry Jones did the other show that was like Medieval Lives.
Huh. I don't think I ever actually saw that one. I can't... So, Terry Gilliam almost never appeared in anything.
Yeah.
Right, like he mostly just did the animation and stuff. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the writing and behind the scenes. You know, I would say that if I were to like hang out with any of the members of Monty Python, I would want to hang out with Terry Gilliam.
Oh yeah,
but he would probably irritate the hell out of me after seeing that Man of La Mancha or Lost in La Mancha. Did you ever see that, the documentary about the making of the Don Quixote movie that was all abortive that he tried to do?
Yeah, seeing where that, everything went wrong. And
seeing that made it just absolutely astonishing to me that that guy ever finished a movie, much less that the movies were so fucking good. Like, it just, he seemed like he would be incredibly aggravating to work with on anything, because he's just kind of all over the place. Which, maybe that's why I like him.
Have you seen The Brothers Grimm?
No.
I don't know if I should.
Yeah, I was told that it wasn't very good, and I didn't want to, like...
It wasn't his best work by any strength of imagination, but it was a fun, you know, popcorn movie.
I didn't ever see... I haven't watched The Fisher King again since I became aware who Terry Gilliam was, right? And I really would like to. 12 Monkeys is one of my favorite movies of all time. I genuinely believe that that is one of the best movies that has ever been made.
Like the new new special edition of it or something recently.
Oh, neat. There was like a re-release with new goodies?
I don't know how new it is.
Oh.
But there was the one I saw on Amazon that appeared to have the new stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I bought, that was one of the first DVDs I bought when I actually started buying DVDs. I own 12 Monkeys on VHS, actually. That and, I only owned like 4 movies on VHS, and that was one of them. Speaking of which, I need to see Reservoir Dogs again. Yeah, just saying. Waterboo says, wait, I can't call Riff by his real name? No, he doesn't like that. He goes by Riff. Sailor Bowser says, I don't know if you've answered this question the last time I asked it. Is the magic missile granted by July's Mr. Store item affected by things that affect spell damage? No, it's not. It always does 1d4 plus 1 damage per missile. And it always will. Bobby Nopan says, when do you know that you have too many whiteboards? See, that's a trick question, because you can't have too many whiteboards. Moonshay says, maybe switch to compact fluorescent lights to lower your draw. No thanks, I'd rather not look like a jaundiced Asian all the time. Yeah, because they're especially yellow.
I still maintain that fluorescent lights ruined the eyesight of an entire generation. Because all of us, all of the people that I knew in junior high going into high school didn't wear glasses. And when we graduated, I think all but 2 of my friends were wearing glasses. I think it's just spending 8 hours a day under fluorescent lights fucks up your eyes.
But how is it that it was just your friends and not like everybody?
Well, I didn't notice everybody. I mean,
maybe,
I can't
okay,
go to
it's
China.
People who spend all day at school under fluorescent lights and then never go outside on the weekends.
That could be it.
Because that, like,
they're staring at a series of screens all day.
Yeah.
My, which I totally don't do now.
Way before that.
It was.
I think I got the... I think I was in fourth grade when I got glasses, and my vision has not changed significantly since then. Like, I just kind of had a bad genetic hand.
So mine started halfway through high school, and I got the glasses right after I graduated.
Oh, yeah, you didn't wear glasses when I met you.
I was surprised at how much more in focus the world was, and since then it's gotten a little bit worse. I'm going to have lasers implanted in my eyes. Not laser surgery, just make it so I can fire lasers from my eyes. And then I won't care if I don't have good vision, because if they make fun of my glasses, pow!
But you'll have to take the glasses off first, or it might, like, unfocus the beams.
No, I would have the glasses, you know, have that built into the eyeball, just using the glasses as a focal point.
Yeah, I would like a pointer that used your eyes. Like a laser pointer for, like, you know, being really funny at the movie theater. Like, lol, boobs. Kirana says, what's that little Jick figurine in the display case image while looking at people's display cases? That's a little Sword and Martini guy surveying, let's see, a trophy, a Betty Crocker cookbook, 3 pomegranates, a wooden horse looking at a hippopotamus facing the back of the display case. That's what they are. Not a real hippopotamus, like a wooden wooden horse and a wooden hippopotamus. Zekarin says, hey, Jick, what happens at KOLCon? I mean, I want to go, but I need info about it. Could you send me information on it? We'll post a page about KOLCon 3. It's going to be mostly the same as other KOL meetups. There's going to be the first night, everybody's going to go to GameWorks and eat a lot of... deep fried things while drinking beer and playing video games.
Yes.
Then the second day, there's like a big barbecue with a bunch of shit going on. We haven't actually started planning like the, you know, events and stuff. A lot of board games and stuff. The barbecue is taken care of. Yeah, we are in so much better shape for this year's KOLCon than we were for last year's KOLCon, even though it's further down the road than we were when we were anywhere near this well prepared. Zlayani is kicking ass and taking names. And, yeah, we actually have, coolers. We're going to air condition the entirety of outdoors for the con.
So, if someone says, hey, we're not trying to cool the whole outdoors, we'd be like, yeah, we are.
Yes, we are. that's just our folly, and you're going to have to deal with it, Dad. There's always somebody's dad saying that.
Yeah.
Shadows Light says, Jick, when will you get back to Shadows Light about the prizes for the Ascension Testers art contest? He wants to finish it already. Yeah, I'll talk to you about that later on. Whiskey Jack asks if there's any Maniac Mansion references in the game that he's missed. I don't know that there are any specific Maniac Mansion references. I'm trying to think of specific things from... There's like the... You can put the gerbil in the microwave. There's no gerbil in the microwave. They removed that ability in later versions of the games. They made it so you... Like, even... But it, in the first one, you could only do it if you were, like, three of the different characters. Like, there were eight characters you could be, and only two of them were, like, assholes enough to... Or maybe three of them were like, evil enough to actually allow you to do that.
In the sequel, you have to put a hamster in the microwave to dry it out, and the character that's doing it turns to the camera and says, this only works in video games.
So, Professor Tank asks Scully, why isn't Boni an acceptable alternative to bonuses?
No. See, I've always wondered about stuff like that, but peni is not a plural for penis, and stop doing it.
Well, so, I mean, it's something like some words get their U.S. from Greek origin and some from Latin origin.
Right.
And only one can be pluralized with an I, and it's the rarer of the two.
And the other thing is that penis is P-E-N-I-S.
Well, right, right.
So, but, yeah.
More than one school bus.
Somebody, one of my teachers talked about handing out the syllabuses, and it was in a grammar class, and we all mocked that teacher, and he schooled us. And actually, that word is Greek origin, and syllabi is incorrect. Yeah, and then, so, I got to be a smartass to a different teacher, and yeah, that was fun. It's that kind of catchy thing, though, I think.
Well, I don't know. I mean...
Because, maybe. I mean, the correct way to pronounce Kate Sith is Ketchi, but it's that kind of arcana that... You know, the arcanums that people really don't appreciate being laughed at for.
You know...
Like nauseous.
I feel like
nauseous.
You're not an asshole for knowing that it's pronounced Ketchi, but you're an asshole if you ever tell more than one person that it's pronounced Ketchi.
I think if somebody... said, Kate Sith, wait, am I pronouncing that correctly? And you say, no, it's Ketchi, that's fine. But if you just wait for people to say Kate Sith, so you can go,
yeah.
Clearly.
Bjorn used to correct me for talking about... And I say Ryu as R-Y-U, the character in Street Fighter, and I think that's close enough, right? But apparently, it's more similar to, like, Dew.
Right.
Right? Like, there's a D sound in it, which I'm just not gonna do. No one is going to know who you're talking about if they haven't. I remember getting into an argument when I was in grade school about when I said Kid Icarus, you know, because it's fucking pronounced Icarus. And they were like, no, it's Kid Icarus, you jerk. You're a dummy, you dummy.
Icarus?
And now I'm like, haha, you work at a gas station. Really, I'm not. Because I'm kind of sad about thinking about those people, you know.
It has to be Icarus so you can do the joke with I-C-H-O-R, O-U-S.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it does have to be like that. Homestar guy says, Uma Thurman went to my school. She was a bitch, though, and spent more time modeling than anything else. Then she left to act or something. The school still claims she's an alumni, though. Are you sure they don't claim she's an alumnus?
Yeah, that's why one of the many reasons I didn't get the little license plate thing after I graduated that said NAU alumni. It's like, I'm all by myself. I am just an alumnus.
But
I mean, not having a car anymore was another reason, and me not being particularly proud of NAU.
I can see that working. I mean, because it's like...
The NAU alumni organization, I guess.
Yeah, like, you know, if you were on the team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you had a license plate cover that said Pittsburgh Steelers, you're like, but wait, I'm only one Pittsburgh Steeler. This doesn't apply to me. You know. That only applies to a very limited number of people, though. Namely,
right.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. My wife has a new hat, and it's made out of kitten. Nico says, Leroy Jenkins, the cat? No, just Leroy. There are two cats, one named Leroy, one named Jenkins. Actually, Jenkins! Jack Vermicelli says no monkey blood was added to lift the curse on those that touched the gold.
Oh, so he would have... No, that doesn't matter.
Novanite 21 says Davy Jones equals Dr. Zoidberg. That's very true.
If I thought of that during the movie, I would not have been able to.
Yep.
Yeah. He only has one crustacean arm, though.
Is that the case? Because we were talking about that, and I was under the impression that he had one claw and one hand, but then none of us could remember actually seeing the hand.
I don't know. I know that in real life, that guy has one claw and one hand.
He only has one lobster claw. So whether, yeah.
But they might have added another.
Is it that they had to make a prosthetic hand for the character?
Just like, which is much, much harder to go the other way.
Yeah.
I kind of kept thinking whenever he would snap the claw shut, how fucking tasty that would be. Like a crab leg that big.
He's like fantastic. 200 years old.
Yeah, it gives it full body character. Yeah.
Crazy Julio says, every time I try to combine objects, I get an airship monster. What's happening?
You're in the middle of a fight, man.
Yeah.
Finish the fight.
No, but maybe he got that disease that turns your meat paste into airship monsters.
Ooh.
We coded that, right?
Yeah, it's an Easter egg. So we weren't supposed to roll that out till Easter.
Dangerpin says, when did 120 minutes with Jick and Scully turn into 30 minutes of how was your weekend, 20 minutes of bashing people for asking questions, and 70 minutes of music? Huh.
You also forgot the 30 seconds of blow me.
Yeah, I was going to let Mr. Scully do
that's
that.
The way the show has always been, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
The
we
Thursday
used to feel
show
guilty
is where they
about
actually talk about
bullshitting,
stuff.
And that's why we split it into two shows. Yeah.
And so, then I people mean, were like, no, we enjoy the fact that you guys...
Some people, you know. So
some people do, and other people can listen to the Thursday show, and that's fine.
And that's fine. And some people can listen to both and whine about whichever one is the least, like, the platonic ideal of the KOL radio show that they're imagining. Anyway, it's certainly not 70 minutes of music. We take a 10-minute break in the middle because the show is just a million times better when we do that. When we get to take a break and our asses don't hurt. You know, from the butt sex.
Yeah, we have to take a break because our asses don't hurt and we do a much better show when they do.
Yeah. Jello Blah says, big props to Riff on the White Citadel stuff. I love the movie and laugh so hard at the quest.
Right on.
Feng Shui says, I played it in China no problem while I was there. I don't know. And D Mega says, maybe China stopped being cool when they refused to sanction North Korea. Riki Kiki Taco says, who is the best delivery pizza? Papa John's, without a iota of competition.
You know, Papa John's stopped making their sauce out of pure sugar and now are actually tasty.
I haven't noticed any change, although I haven't had... You know, I realized I've only eaten pizza, like, maybe twice in the last 6 months. It's just strange. Oh, man, we got the tiny plastics. Hot stuff was just lurching at me with the Naga, and these things are so fucking cool. You guys are going to love them.
I was wondering if we should post a picture of them on the forums, just so people can start salivating.
Actually, I believe if somebody really wanted to, hold on.
Yeah.
Are they the photographs for the?
Well, I thought that we should post a really blurry picture and say coming soon, and then like slightly less blurry.
If you go to figures.asymmetric.net, you will see the pictures of the prototypes that we posted. I don't think they're all on there though, and some of these are ones that we're not actually using.
The Naga's not on there.
The Naga's not on... Okay, so there's the Lime and the Bugbear. Yeah, I guess that's actually it. The Lime and the Bugbear. And then there are the Gravy Fairy. I think the prototype wasn't done yet when these were taken. Anyway, so don't go look at that.
Yeah, because nobody is going to go look at that.
Forget that I said that.
Plus, we'll be completely confused by, like, the pig demon.
Yeah, the Pretentious Artist is also making a line of figures in the same order, and so what we ended up doing was buying sets of four of ours, which are the Sabretooth Lime, the Naga, the Baby Gravy Fairy, and the Bugbear, all of which are just fucking awesome. Yeah, the potato was not... I didn't really like the potato. I felt like it was kind of too... It was too big to be as simplistic as it is, I think, was my problem.
I just really like the attack pose.
I just think it's scary.
Yeah. I don't know. I that was one that I kind of cut from the initial run. We'll probably eventually do one. I don't know. But yeah, this whole deal worked out that after it took us a year, we've been trying to find somebody to manufacture these fucking things for a year, and we finally, and by we, I mean the pretentious artist, because I fucking gave up on this like 6 months ago. But he kept doing the legwork and found somebody to make them pretty cheaply, so theoretically we're going to have a box of them sent to us to have at Comic-Con, so we might be selling them at Comic-Con. We might be selling a few of them. I would say we will definitely be selling them at KOLCon. They will probably go into the store if we have any left after that. I mean, otherwise, theoretically, we could reorder more cheaply. Surely they would keep the molds or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, then we'll do a series two of the Tiny Plastics. Yeah.
We should do a series two of the Tiny Plastics in game two.
Disco Rabbi asked what our favorite SNES game is. Mine's Ogre Battle. My favorite Super Nintendo game is EVO.
I would say Super Metroid.
Riff like Super Metroid.
Nintendo.
Mr. Skullhead, like Pilot Wing 16.
Right. Super Nintendo.
Pilot Wings, faggot.
Jeez. Yeah, I remember all those Super Nintendo games I used to play. I actually really enjoyed F-Zero. But, yeah. I'm the fighting game, racing game guy. Platformer.
Oh,
Mario
wow.
World was awesome.
So somebody sent me a link to an actual adapter that lets you hook an original Atari controller to USB, which is neat.
That's groovy.
And I'm going to write down that link. Alan says, or Alan C, so given how many inside jokes about video games are littered through KOL, do you guys write off video game purchases on your taxes? Absolutely.
You bet your ass.
Research materials, man. Fucking cool. Jeffrey Duke asks if we read any real comics, like from DC. Yeah, take your superheroes and shove them up your ass. Real men read, like, horror comics.
I don't know. I had, when I lived with my ex-roommate, I had a lot of comic books at my disposal, and some of the stuff that they did with Superman and Batman and whatever was pretty interesting, but it's still just not going to be as well written. The JLA series, the new JLA was actually pretty good. So, I don't know.
And certainly says, are you excited about going to Comic-Con, or is it going to be more like work than vacation? It's kind of a toss-up between those two things for me at this point.
I'm excited as hell, but then I really am out of the process of doing this stuff. I don't make decisions, and I don't organize stuff, so I just get to go and have a great time.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty similar to being in that position myself, although I have to make some signs. Hot stuff is really has been the go-to on the Johnny spot for this project. And I honestly feel like I'm going to be sitting there in the booth and I'm going to be like, wow, I really wish I could go see such and such a thing right now. And Hot Stuff's going to be like, go ahead, dude. We don't need you here for anything. I'm like, oh, okay. Then I'll go see something.
Well, we got to give mad props to Zlania for
doing
a lot of
dealing with
here,
the fucking
too.
California bullshit and getting all the actual stuff ready.
Yeah.
But I've been stressed out about it, but really I don't know why, because everybody else is doing all the work.
Yep.
I'm gonna go ahead and hand off to to Colmodi.
Oh wow.
Nico demands phone number for Zangetsu. Yeah. I'm not gonna give you Zangetsu's phone number. 555-WE-2. Okay. I'm gonna ask Colmodi if he's RDYORLY? Question mark? Nope, got an auto reply. I'm going to play a song anyway, because I'm tired of talking.
And it's time.
Nope, and he says he's ready. I'm going to play... I'm going to play the REM song from Fables of the Reconstruction that I didn't actually get to because that Beastie Boys song kicked back in. All right, so we'll see you guys. I'll see you Thursday. Mr. Skullet will see you whenever his shift is, if it happens.
All right, good night.